Welcome to Ripstop on the Record, the podcast for makers, by makers, where we talk about all things MYOG. Brought to you by Ripstop by the Roll.
I think it's good, right?
Yeah, I think that was a good take. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ripstop on the Record. I'm Avery.
And I'm Jameson. I just need to give a warning to everybody. Whatever you hear, the audio quality in this intro is not the same as the episode. Both Avery and I happen to be in the studio for recording this episode, so that it sounds great. I was not sick yet, and Avery had the real microphone. So if you hear some weird audio quality in the intro, don't worry. You don't have to deal with that, but for just a couple of minutes. Anyway, on today's episode, we are talking with Jameson Collins, founder of Huda Trail. Huda Trail is an apparel company from Oregon that specializes in technical apparel, things like Alpha Direct hoodies. They also do custom lots and custom orders, but they really help people that are looking to go long distances like ultra running and through hiking find great apparel items that fit them with custom colorways and custom prints.
And this podcast is coming at a great time because we have just released our newest innovation, which is Alpha Direct 4004 with Outdoor Ink. It's live now and you can check it out on our design tool. You can get custom colors, custom patterns, pictures, you name it, whatever you want, printed on Polartec Alpha Direct, it's yours. So that's available now. Be sure to go check it out.
If for some reason you don't know why you'd want Alpha Direct, then go listen to other episodes and go on our website and check it out because it is like an ultimate material. You're going to want it around. If you are looking to print some material sometime soon, then I would highly recommend getting 8x8 samples. This is a fairly new process to us that really helps take the guesswork out of your print. So what it is that you can send in on the specific material that you're looking to print on and your pattern, and you can get an 8-inch by 8-inch square that will resemble the print that you're going to get. So that way you can understand the color fidelity, the print quality, how it looks on the material, all that kind of stuff. It really takes the guesswork out. I'd highly recommend it. It's a great process.
And as always, make sure to like, comment, rate, subscribe. If you want to watch this episode, head on over to YouTube. But other than that, on to the episode.
Well, this is the first time I've gotten to talk to a guest that shares the name that I do. So this is pretty exciting. And I'm not welcoming just me. Welcome to the podcast, Jameson.
Thank you, Jameson.
Glad you're here. Thank you. Yeah, this is going to be like Jameson-ception in here. So the first question I have right off the bat is, when did you start making gear?
So I kind of, I'll answer that as quickly as I can, or get to it as quickly as I can. But I run like really long ultra marathons, and I did this race out in the desert in Moab, Utah. And it's like a really kind of extreme race where it's like really hot during the day and really cold at night. And after completing that in 2022, I was like, I need to figure out like gear because like what I had wasn't working. And basically at the end of that, like after that race, I went on the mission to find like the perfect fleece. Because a fleece was what was kind of working for me, but I had like this huge one that didn't even fit inside of my running vest. I had to like strap it on my back. And like, so through that process is when I discovered like Alpha Direct and Cottage Gear and MYOG and you guys, and like kind of discovered this whole thing that was going on. And, you know, I was like, well, I don't know how to sew, but then I found you guys and you're like, well, you just watch these videos and check out these people and learn how and go buy a sewing machine and buy some stuff from us. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. And so, yeah, it was about a little over a year ago, I think about 14 months ago is like when I bought a sewing machine and binged listened to all the Ripstop on the Roll or Ripstop on the Record and learned how to sew and started making clothes.
So we'll talk about your company. We have already at this point in the podcast in the intro, but just fill people in. What do you do for a day job now?
Yeah. So when I started making gear, I was doing construction. I was like just a carpenter for like a residential construction company and started doing this on the side. And at this point I've transitioned to, this is my business and I sew full time. So sit in this room right here and make clothes for people all over the world. It's pretty rad.
I'm like, if you can build a house, you can build a pullover, right? Or maybe it's the other way around. I mean, if you can make a pullover, you can build a house. So what was the first thing that you ever made?
So I got a sewing machine and I made like a couple, just to learn how to use it. I like started making little baggies. Like I made a couple little bags out of like some cotton fabric. And then I ordered like a DIY kit from Rip Stop by the Roll.
Woo.
And I made this super rad Dyneema stuff sack. And this to this day is my food bag for running ultras. So I put all my snacks in here. So they're all in one place and I put it in my pack. And so I still use this thing like every day almost. So I made a Dyneema stuff sack and then I got a hold of, I knew I wanted to make these fleeces because at the time it was kind of hard to get Alpha Direct fleeces. There was like, everybody was sold out and it was kind of still the tail end of COVID and like it was, they were hard to come by. So I ordered some 4008 from you guys and got hooked up with Tim from Learn MYOG's pattern. And I like sewed this 120 gram Alpha Direct fleece. This was like the first thing I actually made. And I wear this thing like almost every day still. Like this is still my main 120 hoodie that I wear. I haven't made another one because I still wear this one all the time.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I think you answered my next question was, when did you start making apparel? But it seems like you kind of just, you had the vision and you hopped in right after and you've been at it ever since. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I started sewing with apparel in mind, which was, I think is probably pretty unique, you know?
Yeah, well, unique. I feel like it's unique in the MYOG world, but it seems like the more we talk to people, it's like it's flip for like non gear makers, I guess. Like a lot of people start making like so or clothing in school or like with their grandparents or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was just so foreign for me, at least too. Or like I entered the whole scene like trying to make a backpack, not like making pajama pants or something. I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
So tell us about who Huda Trail is, what you do, and what it means.
Yeah, Huda Trail is my little teeny company that I started with the idea of. So when I started, I made my first fleece and I put it on and I was like, well, this is awesome. This is crazy. Like I can't believe that worked. And then I kind of learned about the different layers and I built my first 90 gram out of 4004 and ran in that. And I was like, oh my God, like this is like amazing. Cause I live in central Oregon. It was February-ish at the time, January, February. And like, it's the perfect layer for running in cold, wet weather. And it was like a game changer. And I was just like, well, wow, like this is awesome. And, you know, I learned about it through like the Reddit, like through you guys and Reddit and like more of like the through hiking community. And I realized that like the ultra running crowd, like had no idea. I mean, there's some crossover and there are some people that are aware, but like I go to races all the time and nobody's wearing Alpha at the starting line. And I was like, I need to change that. So I started this company to make custom gear and to like really bring awareness to the cottage industry and MYOG to like the ultra running community. And that's like where my focus is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It is it feels like a fairly new material in general as well. Like the thru-hiking community is maybe the most keen, but I totally agree that it could become a lot more prevalent. I do a lot of cycling as well. And there's like, I think two brands that I've seen with Alpha stuff, and that's not saying it's all of them, but only two that I've seen. And it's kind of the wonder material right now. Like, I don't know why people aren't gravitating towards it more. I guess maybe for durability, maybe for price, but that doesn't stop people with any other material. I mean, there's like tons of expensive specific materials out there.
Right. So everybody's like, interesting. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I don't know. Alpha. It's like really, you could tear it really easily, but then you like have a Gore-Tex rain shell on that. Sneeze on it and it rips. So it's like, that's just part of it. Right. It's a thing to consider. It's not perfect for every application, but it's pretty good for most things. So.
Yeah. So Huda Trail does a really cool job with customization and helping people find the garment that's perfect for them. Tell us about what you're able to do with customizing and what people can do to make their garment.
Yeah. So when I started this, like I said, I started with the Learn MYOG pattern. And so I like went and printed that out on pieces of paper and taped those together and then like figured out how to like cut my pattern out of that. And like, and so I built one that fit me. And I wanted to make some tweaks to it, you know, like I wanted it to fit a little bit differently for me, because I actually have like a weird kind of a weird, not a weird, but like a, I don't fit in standard size clothes super well. And so what I realized is like, okay, I want to make these changes for me. And I did that. And I kind of got like my pat. I basically cut apart all my clothes and like figured out and like rearranged them into like something that I liked. Cut the hood off this and cut the arms off of this and like sew it all back together. I was like, okay, well, I need to learn how to like grade these for different sizes. And so I was like, well, I'm kind of in like the large bucket. And so I need to make a medium and a small and an extra large. And I was like, okay, well, my wife's smaller than me. I'll make her a medium. And it like didn't fit right. And I was like, oh, this is confusing. And like, yeah, she was like, yeah, dude, hips. Like, have you ever heard of hips? And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't have any. So I kind of realized like right away that that standard sizing is kind of a bit of a bummer for a lot of people. And when I started making gear for folks, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to send you these measurements and you send me the numbers back and I'll try to make something that fits you. And through that process, I realized that like, yeah, a lot of people kind of have issues with standard sizing. And it became clear to me that like, that was going to be one of my focuses, was to do custom sizing. And so I've stuck with, there was basically no way out of that. I was like, okay, well, how do I design like a medium that fits well for a lot of, and it just wasn't, I couldn't do it. And then I realized the more I like started selling stuff that it was just really cool to be able to offer custom sizing. A lot of my customers are like, hey, clothes don't fit me. Like, can you help me out? And I'm like, oh, I can definitely help you out. Like, I got you. And I've seen a lot of numbers. I get measurements from everybody and I've seen a ton of different numbers. And that's kind of the neat thing is people are like, they're like, oh, you know, they're like, my proportions are all over the, they kind of feel bad about it. Like they have like this negative thing about it themselves. And I'm like, well, actually, like, I know your numbers. Like, I know exactly what's going on. And it's actually really common, you know, and people are like, oh, like, I'm normal too, you know, like, so that's like probably one of the neatest aspects of my business that I love is making custom sizes for people, however you want it to fit, however you want it to look, you know, that's like priority number one. And then I also like to have fun with the colors. And so I do, you know, I just stock a bunch of different colors of stuff and let people pick and design whatever they want.
I like how you led the customization with like fit customization, like color and stuff is obviously amazing. And I don't want you to downplay that at all, but that it's like, that's what people first think about with customization is like, oh, cause I want it in the colors that I want and the pattern that I want and like the style, but fit is definitely like a form of customization that a lot of people bypass. And also, I guess I don't want to make them like more or less important, but like one's going to impact how people want to wear because it fits right. Like the thing that feels good is the thing that people are going to gravitate towards wearing and the look as well, obviously. But like if it feels right, you're going to be more inclined to wear it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like that really resonated with me early on. And I was like listening to some of the episodes of your guys' podcast, like Julianne from Wild Brush is like, I love her. And she was like, I was listening to this roundtable talk of one of those earlier episodes and they were talking about like women's clothing. And I was like, you know, it was just like, I realized that there was this huge issue. There was like this big thing in the outdoor industry that was happening that I had just never been aware of because, you know, clothes are made for me kind of. But it was neat to be able to kind of find that niche. And then also like, I just don't deal in sizes. Like, you know, I don't even put people into gender buckets. It's like, you got your body, I got my body. Let's make something that fits you. And we don't have to talk about that other stuff if you don't want to. And some people do. Some people are like, I want a medium. And I'm like, okay, I can make you a medium. But like, you know, there's all those people out there that haven't fit in mediums their whole lives. And so it's really neat to be able to serve that, that need for sure.
What about the customization that you do beyond sizing? I know that you're unique in what you offer that's directly tied to just you. You offer certain prints that you might not be able to find anywhere else. So I wanted to ask you about that and see where your inspiration comes from and kind of the designs that you're using.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I mean, first and foremost, my company, like I kind of focus on, my eye is towards like running multi-day ultra marathons or through, you know, it's like multi-day stuff, simple, refined, ultralight. Like that's where kind of where my heart's at. But at the same time, like I'll do whatever you want. Like, you know, like if you want a full zip or you want pockets on the back or whatever it is, like I'm down. I do custom commissions. That's like a small percentage of what I book. And so, you know, I make alpha vests or I make all kinds of weird stuff. And then the prints, I just like to have fun with it. And like whenever I show up to a race and there's like somebody in a Hawaiian shirt, like ready to start a 100-miler, I can just tell they're like where their headspace is at and that they're like out there to have fun and not take themselves too seriously. And that gets me fired up. So I was like, I was making sun shirts and I was doing a lot of tie dyeing, and that process takes too long for me to fit into my normal like workflow. And so to like kind of solve that issue, I started bringing in like fabrics like this, you know, for example, that I'm wearing, to just kind of, I make these things called fun shirts and people get to pick their fabric, their prints from a library. And I was like, prints are rad. So yeah, I kind of just started into that the last couple months going into the warm season, and people are digging it.
Nice. Well, if you're listening and you're curious, we'll tag your Instagram below in the show notes, but you'll definitely have to go check out some of the fun prints that you won't see anywhere else. And they're really great and cheery. And yeah, I love looking at even what you have on right now. You came on the podcast with us and I just loved the Hawaiian gig get up you had on. So it was just brought a smile to my face. What is it? Yeah. What is it about Alpha Direct specifically that made you want to base your business around this one main fabric?
Yeah. So Alpha Direct is like, it's a pretty unique beast. And it's, again, for me, like, I think like if you go on Reddit and like, there's a lot of people in MYOG and the ultralight Reddit's like talking about Alpha Direct and arguing about whether it's good or bad or whatever. But like, it's kind of depends on the use case. And like, for my use case as a multi-day athlete, like there's nothing better. Like wool, I think wool, some of the wool layers are a close second, but I still think Alpha Direct, like 4004 outperforms for like an active layer where you are in activities where you start and stop. And that's what it was designed for, you know, like that was its purpose. And it does that really, really well. So serving, you know, it was a game changer for me as an athlete, like racing these 200-mile races, to have something that I can, like one layer that I can count on, that I can stuff in the pocket of my pack that weighs 3.5 ounces, that, you know, will, when I pull it out, it's ready to go. And I can go over an 11,000 foot mountain at 7 degrees in the middle of the night and like be comfortable in it and stop if I need to. And not, you know, it's like you, when you're wearing layers that like have a, like that get wet and have like wet cling, like you can get really cold and uncomfortable when you need to stop to deal with whatever you need to deal with. And so like not having that problem out there is huge for me. You know, and then just how diverse it is. Like I make Alpha Direct layers for people who are way into like cross country skiing and cycling and, you know, just anything where you're really active. And then there's a start and stop element to it. That's like what got me. That's what was so attractive for me and kind of pushed me towards wanting to make it for everybody.
This analogy just came to me when you were talking about that, or I feel like Alpha Direct are the transitional lenses of apparel fabric. Like, cause I was thinking about that feeling that Alpha Direct has where like you stop and you're like, oh, I'm still warm. And you start running, you're like, I'm actually still kind of cool. Like, and it like does this transition thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're like, they're like my grandfather's like sunglasses to reading glasses.
Yeah, totally. You just put them on and it takes care of the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You kind of just mentioned it there, and I hope I'm not projecting onto you what I would like to do with my making, but have you started to play with Alpha Direct layering and stuff? Like I have a lot of really cool ideas. Well, I think they're cool ideas of like Alpha Direct with like a wind shell on the front, like for cycling, like a cycling vest or a cycling jersey, or just kind of layering different materials on the outside with Alpha Direct on the inside or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what, like I talked about that kind of like arguing or bickering that goes on about Alpha Direct in the forums is like, it's really because in certain situations, standalone, it can be not the perfect thing, but as a part of a system is where you kind of like mitigate that stuff. Like, yeah, if you're on a, mountaintop and it's really, really windy and cold, like you might have some issues in just a 4004 layer. But if you put like a really light wind shell over it, like all that goes away because you still have the loft underneath and you can stay really warm. So like there's kind of a three-part system, and this is where I'm going with my business, is like if you have an Alpha Direct base layer, or I'm not even going to say base layer, if you have an Alpha Direct hoodie or a pullover, and then like what's perfect for me is like a 1 ounce Hyper D wind layer that can go over that. And that covers like so many conditions, those two right there. And like, it's so Hyper D, uncalendered Hyper D is like super breathable. It's a perfect thing to put over Alpha Direct, and you can still be pretty active in it without getting too warm. And then for like really rainy situations, bringing in like a really light DCF rain layer. And so those three things together cover like pretty much everything. And then obviously if you're like hiking and you're going to be spending a lot of time static, like a lightweight puffy still has a lot of use. And like, if you've ever worn Alpha Direct under a puffy, like in camp, it's like the most cozy warm thing ever. Like you are good to go. So like, but those layering things, like that's where I'm actually going to design my wind layer, my Hyper D, and I'm prototyping this stuff right now. It's just, I got distracted with Hawaiian prints, so I haven't really been focusing on the wind layer and the rain layers. But like for me, an overvest, because I'm a runner, like an overvest wind layer and an overvest rain poncho, so that you don't have to take them on, you don't have to take your vest on and off to change layers. Like that's the perfect system. I think there's a lot of, you know, I think that's, people will be super stoked to have that capability.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, Avery. I know you have the next question, but I had another follow-up. So I have this vision I was just mentioning, and I guess I've been curious to make it, but also I'm not very well-versed in apparel stuff. So I'm also somewhat looking for other people. So maybe this gets cut, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But I have this vision of a cycling vest that is 4004 Alpha Direct front and back, but with a wind, like a wind material on the front. So like a membrane or the Hyper D or something like that. So just really cut the wind when you're obviously going into the cold weather, but it's also going to be super breathable on the back and extremely warm. Is that, do you do sort of things of that nature as well? Like could people, could they ask you to custom make that type of thing also?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's what's cool about it is like, and that's what's so sweet about MYOG and cottage gear in general is like, there's just like, you can get like there. I mean, that's the problem with like big brands is that they're kind of trying to do, they make something that's trying to be good for everything and it's not really good for anything. That's what, yeah, at the end of the day, you know? And then, so there's all these cottage companies and MYOGers that are making stuff that's a little bit more niche and specific. And then you can go like extreme, like I'm going to make this thing that is really only good for this one application, but that's what I do. And that's what's important. So like, let's make that, you know? So yeah, like I do custom commissions. I can't do a lot of them because they take so much time. You know, it's like I sew a couple fleeces a day. And you know, if I'm going to make you this special like cycling jersey, then it's going to take me. You know, so like I limit those so that I can keep the schedule moving. But like, for sure, like I made a guy one of those reversible Alpha vests, like that some companies have made them before, where it's basically a vest, but it's reversible. So you can put it on, you can take it on and off without taking your pack off, you know? And so like,
that's pretty sweet.
Door last week. Yeah. So same thing, like that would be awesome, Jameson, is to like have super breathable layer with some wind protection just on the front of it, because you're always riding a bike forward. You're never riding a bike backwards. Right. You got crazy skills that I don't know.
Not at speed, you know, slowly maybe, but not 20 miles an hour.
Exactly. Yeah.
This isn't my planned next question. This is just an off the record question. So with the hoodies that you're making, if people want to buy one, are they all customizable, like people are putting in a custom order, or do you have stuff ready to go off of the shelf that people can buy? And then to follow up, if you do make everything custom, what is your current lead time?
Yeah, so I do 100% build to order, so I don't produce anything off the shelf whatsoever, and that's
nice.
That's okay. Like I'm very upfront about like I love cottage, I love MYOG, and so if people like So with that, I do build to order, and there is a longer lead time, and I'll get to that in a second. But like, if people need something quicker, I do build a little bit of time on my schedule for if people have trips coming up, like I can squeeze you in and get gear out the door. But I also like, there's a bunch of great companies out there making great stuff. And so if my timeline doesn't work for you, then like, I definitely recommend other companies that are making alpha products or sun shirts or whatever. And just like a bunch of friends that I've kind of like grown to work with in the community and like share that business for sure. Like it doesn't, I don't try to like keep those orders, you know, it's like, if you need something right now, here's where to go, you know? So.
Nice. And then what is your lead time for custom?
Yeah. So I am booked out a little bit longer than normal. At first it was like, it was beautiful. Like I was basically like 2 weeks out, you know, when I was like really small and it was still kind of a side thing. And it was so fun to be able to like take an order and make it and send it to people. Like, but right now I'm booked out about 7 or 8 weeks. And I don't see that getting any better. So I'm kind of at this point where I'm like, okay, I got to figure out what to do. Cause it sucks when you tell people like, oh, you got to wait 2 months to get this piece of gear, you know? So these are new problems that I have to figure out.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know for the people listening. So my next question, if someone, a regular DIYer is at home making with Polar Tech Alpha Direct 4004, what are some tips and tricks that you have for people making specifically with this fabric?
Yeah. So, I mean, awesome. Like, first of all, if you're starting with 4004, like good for you. That's what I did. And it's actually, it's a tough way to start. like stretch knits are like a really tough thing to get dialed in. And especially if like it go both ways. Like if you've never sewed anything, you're actually maybe at an advantage because you don't know any better. Like, you know, if you've been sewing nylon for like a long time and then you try to switch to the stretchy weird stuff that gets all wonky on you and you're dealing with elastic and you're just like, wait, what is going on here? Like it could be super rough. But like definitely try to prototype with cheaper fabric and try to use similar fabric that you're like, to try to use stretch knits. And you can go to like, you know, the box store down the road and buy those to practice with before you cut into your like super nice ripstop by the roll order that just showed up. And start sewing sleeves to sleeves and stuff like I did. but like, yeah, definitely prototype with stretchy fabric. There's, you guys did one of the episodes that came out that I really like, it was right when I was getting started. That was so rad was the episode with like Sam Bob and Tim from Learn NYOG and Connor from Hightail. Like Connor is my homie. Like that guy's helped me out so much in this journey. On the technical side, like he's a really technical dude and he knows like a lot about needles and thread types and like walked me through buying my first commercial serger and blah, blah, blah. But like that episode, just like, if you want tips and tricks about sewing with 4004, listen to that episode because talking about needle selection and thread selection and all that is super helpful. And then like one thing that I'll find it is like, if you're working with a pattern, which I suggest you do, like Tim's pattern from NYOG is like, that thing is great. Like it's such a good way and you can get it from Ripstop by the Roll. You can download it, print it out, and then use, one second, I gotta find, oh, it's right here. I buy this stuff, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like this gridded, clear pattern paper stuff. And I'll try to explain it for the people that aren't watching, but it's like, it's kind of by where all the fusible interfacing and stuff is. If you go to like Joann's, and you can get it by the yard and it's basically like a semi-transparent like fabric with 1-inch blue grids on it. And then you can lay that on your pattern and trace on it. It's basically tracing paper for fabric. And then you can cut your patterns out of that. And that way, like, you make something and it doesn't fit, or you want to decide you want to take a little bit out of the waist or add a little bit here or there or whatever. Like this stuff's super cheap and you can make all your adjustments on that. And I use this a lot because I don't really have like, you know, it's like I take measurements and I make two of those. So I make like at least 3 times a week, I'm making a brand new pattern from scratch to custom fit somebody. So I use a lot of this stuff and I kind of have like some base numbers that I go off of and I can put this on and trace it and then make adjustments from there. So that's like really helpful.
So that way you don't have to cut up the pattern. You keep the original pattern and then just make the variations on the transfer paper, basically, right?
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. And that's what I did really when I got my, Yeah. I like,
that's super smart. I like that idea a lot. Sorry.
Yeah. And no, it's good. Well, cause like you're always, when you get the paper pattern, you're like, you pick a size and you don't know if it's actually going to fit you. And then you cut that size right out of the pattern and then you can't change it again. You have to go print it out and all that. So tracing it on helps out a lot. And then you can make different sizes and then you're like, oh, this worked cool. Now I want to make one for like my girlfriend or my mom or whatever. And you have like all those sizes still available. You can just trace them onto a new piece.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Side note, I always, like, I know the MYOG and the cottage company is tight knit and people are happy to share information, but yeah, no pun intended, but it's also just warms my heart to see it in other examples too, like Connor helping you out and stuff like that. Like I know it's like that. And whenever I hear about it again, it's just like, oh, that's so rad. Like I love hearing that. And all, even if I know it, it's still cool to hear about. So I want to talk about more, kind of go down this MYOG path a little bit more for people that are making at home. Say they get a Learn MYOG hoodie pattern, they want to make stuff. What are some suggestions or tips that you would have for people to customize the fit? You know, if they're taking a generic size, where would you look or recommend for size adjustments or measurement adjustments or where to measure on your body, or just where would you recommend people kind of dive into the custom fit world?
Yeah. So like, I think the first thing to recognize is like most outdoor tops is like kind of what you might be mimicking if you're, and I'll speak just for tops. I'll leave the like shorts and pants and stuff out of it for the moment. But like, if you're looking for tops, like most tops in the outdoor realm are going to be tapered from the armpits down to the waist. Like it's going to be wider at the chest and narrower at the hips. And that works for a lot of people with that body type and people who don't have that body type, who maybe have like a reverse taper where their hips are wider than their chest number. That's where you're going to run into issues. So I think the first thing to do, even most patterns will go off of chest size. That's like the number one indicator. But the first thing to do is get a tape and just take your own measurements. And the three big ones for the trunk are like basically right from your arm, right across your armpits, across the widest part of your chest. And then your kind of natural waist or like kind of like belly button area. And then the widest part of your hips, or where I like to get the number, where I ask people to give me, is like where they want their garment to land, like the bottom hem of their garment. Because you can, there's a lot of different numbers you can get around your hips, but you really want that number. You want the taper from, you know, your upper waist to where the garment's going to land on your hips. And then you can see kind of if you have like, you know, a taper from the top or a taper from the bottom or an hourglass figure. That's like what a lot of people have. And you can kind of see where you land in there, and then you can make adjustments to your pattern from there. And so,
That's helpful. It's a good basis to kind of start of like where to measure and like where are the points to figure out. That's super helpful, because I was thinking of like some of the like the obvious ones. Like for me, like the length, all the sleeves is always too long. That's like fairly obvious. Like I've just cut sleeves and like refinished them before, but that's not quite the same as like understanding like your chest and like your waist and stuff. So those measurements are definitely helpful to kind of gauge. I want to talk about outdooring some. We talked quite a bit about the patterns and kind of the colorful nature that you bring to the apparel. And I want to talk about our outdooring and Polar Tech and stuff like that. So can you tell us, we recently worked on a project with you to help release our new 4004 printable Alpha Direct. There's so many words in this one. Printable Alpha Direct. Yeah, that's it, I guess. So I just want to talk about what you made, how it went, how you thought the print turned out, and some things like that.
Yeah. So it's so good. Avery's had me sworn to secrecy since like January or something about this. So it's so good to finally be able to talk about it. I'm so excited. I'm like my wife's been the only one that she's just been hearing about it every day. Cause I'm like, ooh, outdoor ink,
yeah.
Printed custom printed Alpha Direct. Like, oh my goodness.
There we go. The
possibilities.
You're hired.
It was good timing that we hooked up on this, like, because I was getting really heavy into prints, and Avery's like, we were talking and she was like, oh, we're doing this cool thing. Maybe we could talk about it. And then when she told me what it was, I was like, oh my God, like I kind of freaked out and then, yeah, mind blown. And so, yeah, we basically designed, you know, I mean, I can just talk about it, right? Like I can talk about what the MYOGers are going to be able to, So like everybody, I mean, a lot of probably the listeners are familiar with, you guys have been doing outdoor ink for a long time and you can get like your cat printed on Dyneema composite fabric, like all that super rad stuff. But bringing that technology to Alpha Direct is like, I mean, that's game changer. And so, yeah, the fact like the upload, it's just the regular outdoor ink process where you can upload your pattern and get your stuff printed. And that, the cool thing about your guys' tool is that it deals with repeating patterns for you, which is what I'm all about because I want to print on yardage. You know, and that's really, that's where it's at for apparel making is like you can get a couple yards of a repeating pattern printed on, you know, all the way across the width and the length of a couple yards of fabric and then get you guys ship it to my house and I can build a fleece out of it. Like, that's so rad.
I was going to hop in and say too that people are now able to get 8x8 custom prints. So if you are making a print and you're not sure how it's going to print on the Polar Tech, you can request an 8x8 sample of many different patterns and then pick your favorite.
Yeah.
So I and I think that's that tidbit in there.
Yeah. I think that's super rad because especially with the 4004, I think getting those like samples could be really huge for people. Like it's mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get to it, but like the contrast is a little bit different on 4004 versus like a, you know, like a DCF or nylon or something that you might print on. But So go ahead.
That's what I was going to say next, actually, is just kind of talk about the color fidelity and the print quality and stuff. Because it is, if you haven't worked with Alpha Direct before and you kind of don't know the nature of the material, there's sort of like a base weave and then just imagine like all this fuzz sticking straight up.
Yeah.
Which is the best worst way I can explain it. So like when you print on that, the way that we print is that like there's rollers, so you can imagine like this material getting kind of pushed through these rollers, so all those fuzzy pieces that are sticking up aren't laying down, but they're laying down in one direction. So the print quality is good enough that we would actually put it out there, but it's something you just need to be aware of as a consumer. If you think about this, you'll see a bunch of pictures of people that print on them. So before you order it, you'll be able to see what it looks like. But it is like you have to get used to kind of the fuzziness. Where like when you print on the DCF or we print on EPX, like a lot of these other materials have really crisp printing quality because the material's flat. I mean, DCF is like just a plastic polyester layer. It's just a different expectation. You have to get used to the fuzz of Alpha Direct to see to understand the print fidelity.
Yeah, and it's a three-dimensional fabric. I mean, like you're saying, the other ones are totally flat. This has texture and dimensionality to it. Tell us more about your experience with working with it, how you thought it came out, maybe how the color turned out. Talk about like the high contrast, any tips or tricks people might have if they're uploading their own image or something, because we're talking about how it varies being printed on that texture and what people can do to get the quality that they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's super cool. So it does like, I mean, Alpha Direct, like it has a look of its own, like you're saying, it's like a high pile, high loft fabric. And so it's got a look of its own and it's cool. And I think it looks rad the way it comes out printed. Like it's got this kind of cool, like translucent kind of like, you know, surface to it. And it does take detail really well. Like the pattern, the artwork that we designed for this, like had a lot of really fine detail, like, and the details there, I would bump up the contrast. Like I would make sure that you pick pretty, if you're going to have fine detail, especially like really up the contrast of those colors. Like I had like a brownish red base and then like darker brown twigs on these bushes that were on the pattern. And like some of those details can be lost a little bit, where if it was like, you know, a lighter brown with like a much darker, almost black fine detail, like I think it would have showed up really well.
And I will say it takes that fine detail really nice. We printed Coloring Book, which is our most popular print, and we were surprised at the detail level that we could see. But I would even say if they're really small, minute details, like let's say, strokes in a petal of a flower, you might want to make that more high contrast or make those thin lines, like just bump up that line weight a little bit so it can be seen. But it's still, you can still see those very small details. But if you're wanting them to maybe look a little crisper, I'd bump up that line weight of whatever is smaller. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So yeah, our like our pattern that we designed, like I'm way into Hawaiian prints and stuff. Just it's just super fun. And I also, like I said earlier, I love the desert. So the artist that I work with, Allie McQueen, who is like a coworker from when, before I left construction, she's a designer, but also a graphic designer, Taller McQueen Art. We got together and I was like, I really like the desert. And she's like, I love the desert. I love desert flowers. And so we kind of spun like a desert version of a tropical print. So it's got like desert flowers and ocotillo bushes and Joshua trees and saguaro cactuses. And like those ocotillo plants are like really fine fingery bushes. And that's like where, you know, we would have, like you said, either bumped up the line weight or made them a higher contrast, but the detail's there, you know, it's just printing in a way that you can see it well.
For sure.
This is a good idea. We never talked about like how to get the most out of a specific fabric printing before in a podcast. So I think it's actually kind of smart, especially as we release new materials, like, you know, adjust the contrast here, get the most out of this. That's kind of a good idea. I didn't even plan on this, but it kind of worked out great.
And honestly, everyone that works here is so super helpful. If you email in to support@ripstopbytheroll.com and you say, please check my print before I spend X amount of money printing it, we are here to do that for you. You're not bothering us. We want your print to come out right. Also, thank you for reminding me of this, because when we were doing this project with you and a few other people, which you might see their makes on Instagram, there is a directional stretch of Polar Tech, which should be noted. It is a stretchy woven fabric. So the other caveat kicker to this is making sure your print is oriented right for the stretch of the fabric. So there's the warp and the weft, and then you can upload it, and there's rulers that show you, you know, length and width, but just making sure that print. So if you're confused by that, which I am still, you're uploading it onto your computer. So that's like two-dimensional, but you're thinking of warp and weft, but you want to make sure your print is in the right direction. If you're not sure, also just email us, because we wouldn't want you to get your print upside down and then you have to wear upside down dog face on your on your sweater.
Would be sideways. Yeah, sideways would be a bummer. Yeah. That was super natural for me, just because I understand the warp and weft of these stretch knits. Right. Like a lot of like Alpha Direct is a four-way stretch, but it's really like a two-way stretch. It's like it has to be oriented one way for garment construction, otherwise it's not going to be comfortable. You want it to stretch width-wise in its most stretchy dimension, and then lengthwise it's not as stretchy. And so, yeah, you got to get that right for apparel making when you upload the pattern. And so, that is a really good point, Avery, is like, make sure you got that. It was natural for me, but if anybody's going to upload some artwork, it uploads into the tool the right way. That's the nice thing about it, is like, if your artwork is directional and you're looking at it, like, you know, up and down is north and south and side to side is east and west. If your pattern is directional and oriented like a piece of paper sitting in front of you, when you plug it into the tool, it's going to go that way. But if that doesn't make sense to you, like you said, ask, make sure you get that clarified before you get it printed out. Cause you don't want like your sideways dog picture.
One thing that might be unique or different from people who are traditionally making gear, DCF, ripstop, those fabrics that they might not think about with clothing is pre-washing your fabric. Not supernatural for some people to take their brand new fabric that they just got from us and like immediately throw it in the washer, but that's one thing you also need to do. So I was going to ask you if you noticed a difference between your fabric when you first got it in color and after washing it, did you notice any changes? Did the color stay the same? Any takeaways from that?
For me, for the colors, that's a good question. The color stayed pretty much the same. It was just like Jameson was talking about, when it comes out, it's like rolled in kind of one direction. And so it, when you wash alpha for the first time, it kind of fuzzes up a little bit more, like Jameson was saying. And so that kind of changed the look of it a little bit. But for me, the colors stayed pretty much the same. Yeah. I didn't notice a lot of difference. Like, it just seemed like.
Yeah, I wasn't like quizzing you, wasn't trying to like question you or anything. I was just wanting people to know that, you know, you're not going to wash it and it's going to fade. I mean, I would obviously wash it by itself and wouldn't like throw it in with your darks or whatever you're doing.
Your white linens.
Yeah, I mean, you're normally going to get a few yards of this stuff so you can put it on. Yeah. Whatever's efficient for you and your washer. But I wanted to explain that because like, you said, and Jameson said that it's rolled through the rollers, it's pressed flat. When you wash it, it fuzzes up. So it's not that it's losing color. It's that it's just even more three-dimensional than it was when you first got it. So if you rub your hand in the same direction, hopefully it's going to look similar as it did. You know, it's going to be like one of those sequin pillows where you like rub it up and it's pink. And then you're not exactly like that, but it does. Yeah, the three-dimensionality changes the color. It just makes it. Fuzzy.
Yeah.
And not fuzzy in a bad way either. I feel like I'm not saying the right descriptive words Sorry.
You have to see it. Like for the folks watching, like here, so this is the fleece I made and like, it just kind of has like, if you, at a certain angle, you can kind of see a little, it's kind of this cool, like I said, it's kind of like this cool translucent thing. And I think it's a really cool look. Like I'm really interested in even printing solid colors. Cause they'll kind of have like this cool glow to them. And like, that's something I plan on doing is bringing it because alpha colors are notoriously hard to find. Like I'll print some cool colors that I like from you guys and yardage and then have those available. And I think like some of those color blocked fleeces with different solid colors printed is going to look super rad. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this yesterday actually with Carter and in the tests that we've run and our test prints, I think we're almost all in unison that things look really good printed. So it's a white base background fabric. So if you make a pattern and make your background white with a repeating flowers over it, that white really pops and really makes it look pretty spectacular too. So not that having a solid color as your background and a pattern on top of it, that's not bad either. But that white is really just kind of striking against like, you know, a printed flowers all over against the white background too, but just another tip / observation, but I'll let Jameson get us back on track here. Sorry about that.
I mean, it's cool. It's good stuff to talk about. I'm excited about that too, to do some lighter patterns with some fine detail and kind of let it pop.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to put it.
So before we wrap up, we're going to play a little game at the end. It'll be kind of fun. I just want to make sure that we get all the information about your company out there and we let everybody know how to find you and whatnot. So is there anything that we've missed about Huda Trail? Anything that you want to make sure that you plug or you want to talk about that we didn't ask you about so far?
I'll just say I'm a super tiny company. It's just me. I'm trying to get my wife to quit her job and join forces with me. We'll see. No luck so far, but that's my dream. That's my vision with this. I run everything through Instagram only. Like I don't even have a website. I the funnest thing about this business to me is connecting with people every day. And so literally people just send me a message. I'm super responsive on Instagram and you send me a message and we start a conversation and we build something for you and you can take the wheel with this color design and all that as much as you want. Or if some people are just like, I don't know, that's too many choices. Like I can help with that process as well. But yeah, just send me a message. So it's Huda, Houda Trail at Instagram. Come say hi. And I'm on there. I sit in this room and sew all day and I'm on Instagram taking orders and talking to people. And then the other part of that I wanted to not miss is that if you're an MYOG-er and like this has been the other really fun thing is like people reach out to me all the time and they're like, hey, I just started sewing. And I'm like, yes. And they're like, it's really hard. And I'm like, it'll get easier. I interact with those people a lot. People that have questions about making their own gear. And I'm definitely like 100% super stoked to be a resource for all the MYOG crowd out there. And like new cottage makers. Like I just want to be a part of the community. It's been super helpful to me. Like you said, like when I reached out to Connor, I was like, I'm technically on like competition, and I was like super nervous about it. And he was like, "What's up? Get, yeah, like, yeah, get the, this is what you need." And I was just like, "Wow, these everybody's so nice. It was crazy." So I just want to return that favor to everybody. So if sorry, I got off track, but if you are looking for recommendations for cottage gear, like custom stuff, or just where to get these types of products, hit me up and I'll point you in the right direction. And if you're looking for tips and tricks and like you're having an issue and you can't get your zipper to work and go in right or whatever it may be, or especially with custom sizing, like hit me up and I will definitely do everything I can to help you out in that regard. I think that's it.
How did the name Huda Trail come about?
So Huda, I grew up in like Northwestern California, kind of on a little coastal town up there. And Huda Point was like this famous viewpoint, like sunset spot above this like epic surf break where all these people would go out and paddle out into this like gnarly surf and get worked over. And I'm not a surfer, but like, I love the idea of like surfing. Like it's really analogous to some of the stuff I go through in ultra running, like where you just kind of like, you're at the start line of a 250 mile race and you're about to like experience a whole lot of unknown. And like, I grew up in a community where like kids' parents were just like paddling out into like gnarly surf with no idea what was about to happen and like exploring their limits. And like, that was cool. That was cool for me. But yeah, it's Huda Point is kind of where I spent a lot of time there having a lot of different experiences growing up. Like kind of, it was a place I would go to gather my thoughts and stare out like into the endless abyss of the ocean and watch the sunset. And so it was always a special place for me. And yeah. And then the trail part of it is just like, to me, like the fascinating thing about hiking and trail running is that like, we're all on a trail. We're all on our way somewhere. And when we realize that we're like, we're always going to be on that path, we're never going to get to the end. There is no finish line. It's just about like being in the process of moving every day. Like that's kind of where, how those two tie together and being present in that every day.
That's a cool name. I do. Now I feel more bad every time somebody said Huda Trail, just being like Huda Trail. Now I feel bad kind of making fun of it, 'cause it seems really pretty. I looked up a picture and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's fun. It's like a terrible business name because nobody knows how to pronounce it or spell it. And like, you know, nobody knows how to say Arc'teryx either, if that's even how you say it. So I guess it's okay.
Right. Yeah. Let alone spell it. They even shorten it for us. We can't, you know,
I know. Right.
All right. So this game, it's always fun to kind of wrap up the podcast with a game. We try to make it a bit fun, a bit interactive. So this is sort of a game for you. I guess you're really just the guinea pig so that the people listening can also have fun trying to play it in their own right. So this is calling it Alpha Direct Trivia, I guess. These are all questions about Alpha Direct that I found through various Google searches. And then you'll just get to guess. If you know them, that's more impressive, but you don't have to because I don't think anybody does.
More of a guessing game. We don't expect you to know the answer. No. So you are in the hot seat, but you're not in the hot seat.
I'm not nervous at all. I love being in the hot seat, so I'm super stoked about this. Bring it on.
All right, so it's only four questions. It's a very easy quiz as long as you get through the four. So first question is, in what year was Polartec Alpha Direct first introduced?
Oh, let's see. It was like 2011.
Wow, that's really good. So according to Alpha Direct's website or Polartec's website, 2012 in partnership with the U.S. Army Special Forces. Yeah. So yeah,
I'll give you that
that's,
one.
That's pretty good. Yeah, no, that's very good. If you're listening, play along. Take a guess and see how close you can get. All right,
that's
so next question.
Go ahead. That's the only one I'm going to get.
probably. I don't even know. Yeah. Anyway. Second question is, what is the CLO value of Alpha Direct 90 with no shell?
You got to ask Dan Timmerman for that. I don't know. He does. No idea.
He probably does. He probably wrote this answer. The answer that I found was 0.38 CLO per ounce.
There you go. Perfect. That was my next guess.
That was second. Yeah,
That was right after I have no idea.
I was looking up other, because when I was looking, I was like, what the heck? I was like, what is a comparable CLO value to this? And one of the answers, I just like Googled like CLO value, and one of them was overalls 0.3. And I like the picture of like overalls to Polar Tech Alpha Direct. I don't know. That seemed
overalls.
Seemed obscure to me.
Polar Tech overalls.
I've had that request. Yeah, I'm actually like working on designing some. I do microgrid too, and I'm doing some microgrid overalls for somebody in the future. But
that sounds comfy.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Why did they choose the word direct in Alpha Direct?
So the first version of that was just called Alpha was basically attached to a liner or an outer fabric. And my understanding is that when they built Alpha Direct, their goal was to make it a little like a slightly different durability so that it could be worn alone and next to skin. So it didn't need to be attached to like a liner or a outer layer.
That's it. Attached directly to skin.
Direct to the skin.
You're already batting 50%.
Which I will say, I don't know if we have time for this, but like that is the way. Like that is where this stuff shines. Like, especially for running or like activities where you're gonna be really sweaty, is like don't put a layer underneath it. 4004 next to skin is like that's where it shines because you get all the moisture leaves your body, goes through the layer. It doesn't even wick into the layer. It just leaves. It's gone. It's outside. And if you put a layer underneath it that absorbs moisture, you're still going to be cold when you stop, and it defeats the whole purpose. So direct.
So are you
next
going?
To skin.
I was going to say, are you going commando under your sweatshirt or your pullover? So you've got your pullover on. You have nothing underneath it.
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just learned something new today. I would have normally had like a tank top to feel appropriate if I needed to like whip this thing off, but then the tank top gets soaked in sweat from your backpack. And it sticks to you, but now I know. Wow, thanks.
Yeah, that's where it's at. I mean, best you can. Yeah.
What's the chafing value like for Alpha Direct?
Honestly, it's like surprisingly, like I don't have any issues with it. I wear it under a running vest, which is pretty tight, similar to a backpack. I do raglan sleeves, so you don't have a seam underneath your shoulder straps. Sure. But I just make sure I use like a really soft needle thread looper thread on my serger so that like you don't the seam you know like some of the serger thread can be pretty kind of stiff and like the seams can get a little bit uncomfortable, but if you use a soft looper thread, like the fabric itself, like I've never had any chafing issues in Alpha Direct at all, and I've ran a lot of miles in them.
All right, the fourth and my least confident question. I don't actually know if this is the real answer, so I'll give you a lot of leniency on the on the answer here. But how many variations of Alpha Direct are there?
Of Alpha Direct, I believe there's four. There's 4028, which is 60 gram per square meter. There's 4004, which is 90 gram per square meter. There's 4008, which is 120 grams per square meter. And then I have no idea what 190 is, but there's 190 gram per square meter as well. So I think it's just four.
I give you full credit for that. Yeah, I'll give you full credit. The only one I added was with wool.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Alpha Direct with wool, which I don't entirely know if that counts. It's a gray area.
Yeah.
Very nice. Cool. Well, I'm glad. That's the first time we played that type of game, and I think Alpha Direct was a perfect one to play it with, and you were more knowledgeable than you gave yourself credit for.
I hope so. It's kind of my specialty, so.
Yeah. We reached out and said it was your specialty, and I was like, this guy really loves Alpha Direct.
Yeah.
And I told everyone, and then he showed me the questions beforehand, and I was like, he's not going to get any of them. These are crazy questions, and you were like, let's just see. And you did great, so I applaud you.
That's pretty good. Thank you. Of course. Well, we will link Huda Trail links in the show notes. So go check out their Instagram and go check out what's going on there. Yeah. Thanks for sharing the last hour with us and sharing about Alpha Direct and what you all do or what you do, I guess. Jameson, it's been awesome to chat with you.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you guys for having me on. It's like an honor to be here. What you guys are doing is like, it's so amazing. Everybody at Ripstop by the Roll, like Kyle's vision, putting this together and then getting you guys in there to like make it happen. And kind of, it's just like, it's such an amazing resource for people. This podcast is like, I mean, you don't know, like I literally, when I started sewing, I went back to the beginning and listened to every single episode for like, it took me weeks to get through them all, but I learned so much. And I feel like I know you guys, like James said, like, I feel like I know you so well, even though
I'm so sorry.
time we talked, but yeah, but appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Keep the, like, the resources are so invaluable for people. And with that, for the listeners, like I like I said, I want to continue that resource for people. So if you have questions, you watch some videos or listen to some podcast episodes, you have more questions, come hit me up and say hi. Love to chat.
Sweet. Well, thank you for your kind words. Makes it a lot, all the better. Normally it feels like we're just sitting in a dark room talking on a computer. So it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to see the difference or whatever it means to people. So we do appreciate hearing it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Really, well, bad. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.